This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Wednesday afternoon, September 21st. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Rob Hart. A great way to get kids started in investing is through a custodial account. We'll learn more in our next segment, but right now, the Fed is expecting to raise interest rates when it releases its latest policy statement in less than an hour. We're joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver, Colorado, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. David, thanks for joining us today and helping us understand central banking as the Fed prepares to hike interest rates once again. The amount of the hike is not a surprise, but investors are going to be waiting to see what they say about the state of the economy and any statements made during the news conference afterward.
Yes, and you posed the issue quite well. Clearly, at this September policy meeting, we do think rate hike of 0.75 or 75 basis points, as the market likes to say, is pretty much settled on. The next meeting won't be until November 2nd, and that's really the issue people will be looking ahead to. Obviously, the tone of this meeting is important, and I think Fed Chairman Powell will be continue to be hawkish. He injected back in his comments in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Paul Volcker, some people call him the saint. The idea is for the Fed to keep at it until the job is done. That means don't let up in the hawkishness. I do think by November, the Fed will be looking at the data closely. It's quite something to have 375 basis point hikes in a row. So I wouldn't rule out something like a 50 basis point or half a percentage point increase in November. But that will depend on evidence that inflation at the consumer level is coming down.
Investors have priced in a 0.75% to maybe a 1% hike an hour from now. And the hawkish tone, not much of a surprise, especially to investors who heard the talk at Jackson Hole a couple of weeks ago and then the next speech at the Cato Institute. But it seems to be the economic projection is the thing that has the potential to move the markets this afternoon.
Oh, indeed. I think the market is looking closely for that unemployment rate. When we get to the end of all this, the question is going to be how high is that unemployment going to be and how high is that target federal funds rate going to be? I certainly would not rule out by the middle of next year twin fives, a 5% unemployment rate and a 5% Fed funds rate, but we're quite some distance from there. The point I want to make is the Fed is fully focused on inflation, and I think Powell is willing to accept a recession if he has to in order to bring inflation down.
David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver, Colorado, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Coming up, helping kids get started in investing.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. Helping kids learn the fundamentals of investing can set them up for long-term financial success. Let's get some advice from Mark Horner, wealth advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management, based in Wheaton, Wheaton. The website is fairhavenwealth.com. Mark, thanks for joining us today. It's a scenario that many parents are familiar with. They have a bank account for their kids that's got chock full of money from birthdays and religious observances. They turn 18. They have access to that account for the very first time. They go to college, and then it sounds like that old Willie Nelson song. They start spending their money, calling everybody honey, and then they run out of money and they're singing the blues. What is one good way to keep an 18-year-old from learning that very difficult lesson, maybe a couple of years ahead of time?
That's a great intro, Rob. One good way is to show them, to let them actually put their hands on the investments figuratively, not literally. And so maybe when the kids are much younger than 18, get a custodial account, a UTMA account. Some people aren't familiar. You can have a custodial account for an IRA or a Roth IRA if the kids have got some earned income. Go ahead and make some investments, not cash. Go ahead and make some investments. And I'd be a big fan of making some individual stock investments, because I think it helps an individual company, I think, really helps kids understand and learn about what it means to be an investor. Let that investment cook for 10 or 15 years until they get to be 18. And my bet is that you will be able to show them a statement that has a dollar amount that you invested, let's say it's $500, that's turned into something much more. And so let's just pick a company. Let's say you picked investing in McDonald's stock. You'd be able to show the kids that statement to say, hey, that $500 that I invested in a company has turned into something much more. And so that's a concrete example of the power of investing over time. But I think getting started early and getting them involved are two important elements.
Two questions. The first one is, what is the best way to set up a custodial account? You mentioned a couple of different type of investing accounts with tax implications. What's the best one, like the easiest vehicle to set up? And then the second one is, what are the sources of income we're talking about? Summer job, birthday money, or anything that comes in?
Yeah, so the answer to the first question is, we're big fans of just keeping it simple. So if mom and dad have already got an account at a financial institution where they're doing their own investing, we'd be fans of just opening an account there, wherever that might be. And then as far as the custodial IRAs or custodial Roth IRAs, the hurdle there is technical as earned income. And so what that means is if the kids get a paycheck from somebody. So babysitting money is not going to count unless your neighbors have formed an LLC and are kicking out paychecks, which is unlikely. But if they've got a paid internship at a company and they get a physical paycheck, they're very likely going to be able to save some of that money into an IRA, or we'd be big fans of custodial Roth IRAs.
Mark Horner, wealth advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management, based in Wheaton. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. The website, fairhavenwealth.com. Coming up next, retailers are struggling to find workers as the holiday season approaches.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Demand is higher than supply for retailers, delivery services, and other businesses. Let's talk about what that means for the holiday shopping season with Rick Cobb, founder of the Workplace Consulting firm To Discern, based in Chicago. Rick, thanks for joining us today. In previous years, the temporary or seasonal holiday worker, that was a good source of income for someone who may not have had a steady job or needed to make a little extra dough along the way. How does the holiday seasonal worker live inside the current job market where talent is very hard to find?
Well, that's the issue, right? The jobs are going to be there, but they're going to be seasonal in nature. So you, across the board, you've got both big box retail and the large grocery store chains, the Walmarts, Kohl's, you name it, are all going to be trying to staff to anticipation of the seasonal hiring. And also that extends out to getting the stuff to the customer, which means the logistics of getting things from supply chain, getting from A to B. E-commerce now has stepped in. So, you know, the Uber Eats, et cetera, they're legion in terms of getting things out. So there's going to be tons of jobs, and we still have a 10.7 million deficit in terms of jobs against hiring. So it's going to be a really crazy market. And if you're a smaller business, and you don't have staff now and you're not looking, you're going to be really struggling to find anybody in the next month or two, because the demand is off the charts. And again, there's a lot of uncertainty in general about the economy.
Walmart planning to hire 40,000 workers for the holiday season. UPS wants to hire over 100,000 winter holiday rush workers between now and Christmas time. And it should be important to note that if, just as in the case with full-time jobs and regular jobs, there is kind of a recruiting arms race for these seasonal jobs as well, and that you might get some perks this time around above and beyond if you were looking for a seasonal job 7 years ago.
Yeah, I think if you've been underemployed or unemployed for an extended period of time, well, there's probably other reasons besides the fact that there's no jobs for you. Certainly, the millennial generation is a lot more interested in authenticity. In other words, are you a legitimate company? Do you actually demonstrate that you care about me other than just I'm filling a spot and you know, that will be eliminated? So the smart staffing and hiring organizations are going to be looking for ways to entice people, not just for the temporary moment, but also with some sort of a path, either a skill set that you can learn while you're here, which you can use in another job somewhere else, or a path to other jobs in that organization. That's going to be a lot more enticing than just the job itself, because as we know, there's over 10 million out there right now that are open.
If you're a student looking for a little extra spending money, a seasonal job is a great opportunity for you to do just that. And if you're looking for a steady gig once the holidays are over, a lot of these places tend to keep people who did a good job during the holiday season.
Yeah, don't just take the job. Well, obviously, there's some of the jobs that are so labor intensive and require so much, that there's not a lot of time to think. But if you're a student and you can find an opportunity to work in and around the area that you are most passionate and interested in, you want to pursue that. You know, it's almost the price of entry now for a good job out of college is some sort of internship experience. And also on the other side of it, if you are in an opportunity that is temporary, that doesn't mean it has to be temporary. If you are an exemplary employee that takes on additional responsibilities and demonstrates that, there are a lot of talk about quiet quitters, but there are some people that are actually looking to move up. And if you demonstrate that, there may be opportunities for you beyond the season.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Still ahead in Personal Finance Wednesday, strategies to get the most out of Social Security.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS News Special Report. New York Attorney General Letitia James is suing former President Trump and his three adult children, alleging business fraud.
Everyday people cannot lie to a bank about how much money they have in order to get a favorable loan to buy a home or to send their kid to college. And if they did, the government would throw the book at them.
The consequences?
We are permanently barring Mr. Trump and his family members from serving as an officer or director in any entity in the state of New York. We are barring him from entering into any commercial real estate transactions for 5 years. We are barring Mr. Trump and the organization from applying for any loans for 5 years.
CBS's Graham Cates.
She was talking about famous properties like Mar-a-Lago and golf courses, as well as individual apartments. She's accusing them of kind of playing with the valuations in order to inflate Trump's value himself.
Trump called it a witch hunt by a racist attorney general. CBS News Special Report.
It's 12:32. President Biden addressing the United Nations General Assembly this morning, focusing on Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
A brutal, needless war. A war chosen by one man, to be very blunt. Let us speak plainly. A permanent member of the United Nations Security Council invaded its neighbor, attempted to erase a sovereign state from the map.
The president calls the action by Vladimir Putin a violation of the UN Charter. The Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Stocks are trading higher. We're joined by Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Jim, thanks for joining us today. The markets are higher today heading into this the Federal Reserve, the Fed announcement about an hour from now. And normally the way this goes is there's a little bit of anticipation, and then there's some wild swings of the market while the Fed Chairman Jay Powell makes his remarks. What explains the pattern of trading this morning, this anticipatory rally?
Yeah, it's not based in anything of reality. If you look at what economic reports we got this morning, it's continued weakness. The housing numbers were weak. You have Walmart saying they're going to be very cautious on hiring this season because they're uncertain about the economy. You have Facebook, Meta, laying off people. So there's nothing that went on statistically or factually that speaks to this rally. I think it's just a little bit of hope and a reaction to the fact that stocks have been under terrific pressure over the last several weeks. So going forward, what we have to see is what they do and what their statement says, what their forecasts are, the so-called dot plots as to how high they think they're going to have to take rates and how long they're going to have to keep them there. And then third, of course, is the press conference. And my guess is they really don't want to surprise the market, so I don't think there's going to be that much new today.
If you're an investor, how do you react to the various sources of information that are coming in this afternoon between the actual interest rate hike, between the dot plot, the economic predictions, and the news conference? What are which we all will anticipate more hawkish rhetoric from the Fed? How do you make moves based on what happens this afternoon, or do you?
No, you don't. I think what you do is you do long-term asset allocation, use periods of weakness like this to rebalance, probably higher into both equities and bonds because they're both more attractively priced than they were. You know, you can get 4% on a 2-year treasury now, which is not a bad return, particularly in a tax-deferred account. So I would say you can draw down some cash into both equities and stocks on a long-term basis, but on a short-term basis, this is just noise. We have a period of uncertainty here between now and the end of the year, trying to figure out how high the Fed's going to take rates, how long they're going to stay there, what its effect on the economy and corporate profits in 2023 are going to be, and we just don't know at this point. So I don't expect much clarity anytime for the next few months. And, of course, we are entering corporate earnings season in October when corporations will give forward-looking guidance, which I think will be very important.
That CPI report that was hotter than anticipated that came out a couple of weeks ago, the purpose of finding clarity, did that confuse things as far as investors and observers were concerned?
Well, it's rear-looking. They're rear-looking numbers, and part of it is embedded inflation. You have this rent equivalent that's going to work its way through the system for a while. But there's some very smart people who are saying the Fed shouldn't look at that because it's old data. And as we stand here today, the economy is weakening, that these interest rate increases take effect with a lag, that they're starting to be felt, and that the forward-looking indicators for both inflation and the economy are weakening. And that's the risk that the Fed, to regain their credibility, ends up overshooting in terms of how high and how long rates stay, how high they take rates and how long they stay there.
Very quickly, if Jay Powell was a guy walking on a tightrope, how's he doing? So how's he doing right now? Is he wobbling?
Well, they made a great goof last year, and they're trying hard to regain their credibility. They're trying hard to thread the needle. I think he's doing the best he can, but it's like going to the dentist. He's just got to sit in the chair and let the dentist drill until we get through this.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director of Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Thanks for joining us today. Up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, maximizing your Social Security benefits by holding off on collecting them.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and this afternoon we're talking about about Social Security and getting the greatest benefit by waiting as long as you can to take it. Let's get some help from Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Craig, thanks for joining us today. For your entire life, you are told that Social Security will be available to you on or about the time you turn 67. But you don't necessarily have to do that on your 67th birthday, and that may actually be to your benefit.
No, absolutely. This is by far one of the most critical financial planning, or what I call retirement decisions, that every family needs to make in order to stay retired. And to your point, people do need to pay attention that for every year we delay taking our benefit, we're entitled to those DRCs, those delayed retirement credits of 8% per year. And most certainly those can add up and provide great longevity insurance over time.
And what when you're talking to somebody who is on the cusp of retirement, they have the party plan, they have the date circled. What type of, what's kind of the calendar arrangement you work out with a client about how they view their retirement and how they spend their money at different phases of their retirement?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we need to figure out the mathematical formula. What's that minimum rate of return that someone needs on their money to essentially stay retired? And when it comes into the Social Security discussion, whether we're taking it early as 62, taking it on time, say 67, or delaying until the age of 70, a lot of that has to do with longevity. So if someone's eating a chili cheese dog, a pizza puff, and an extra large milkshake, they're probably not going to go ahead and delay. But for everybody else, there's a sweet spot. It's just unique to each individual family and how we blend that strategy together.
When do you have to take them? How long can you delay?
The maximum delay is until your age of 70. Once you hit the attained mark of 70, there are no more delayed retirement credits. And I think what's really important is for married couples, especially if both of them have a work or an earnings history, your decision does not need to be the same as your partner. There's a reason that some families might want to use a combination strategy to essentially maximize their lifetime Social Security benefits.
Let's say you're walking out the door at 67 and you want to delay until you're 70, and you want to use those 3 years. Those are the traveling years. Those are the making up for all the lost living that you did while you were raising a family. Is that a good idea to use the 401k for that exclusively and then count on Social Security towards the end when you won't be nearly as active?
Well, you know, I'm happy you mentioned that. For everybody that is several years away, or many years away for that matter, you might want to take a listen to what Rob just said, which is maybe a portion of your 401k plan should be invested in a safe money position. Safe money being a guaranteed interest account, a stable value fund, or short-term bonds, so that you can draw down that 401k, allowing that Social Security benefit to maximize out until the age of 70. That might be a great strategy. Again, not for everybody, but for those who plan on living based on their health history, their family record, into their mid to late 80s or beyond, that's probably an ideal strategy for most at this point in time.
Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, tip fatigue is impacting restaurant workers.
It's a conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
What's being referred to as tip fatigue is being seen at more restaurants in Chicago and beyond. Let's find out what's going on from Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach based in Chicago. Izzy, thanks for joining us today. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about tip fatigue showing up at some quick service or takeout locations, people less likely to leave a tip for a pickup meal than they might have been 2 years ago when that was the only game in town. But now it sounds like tip fatigue is spreading to restaurants where you have a sit-down meal.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And the fatigue has hit, you know, restaurants as well. But it was interesting. I saw a news report yesterday where it showed a veterinarian's office where at the front desk they had a tip jar. So I think people are looking at this saying, wow, the world's going crazy. You have to tip everywhere. But yes, people are tipped out from, you know, picking up your own pizza and they, you know, having to tip just for your pickup. So it seems like you're being tipped to death. And I think when it comes to full service restaurants, where everybody was very forgiving 2 years ago coming out of COVID and appreciation, I think part of the issue with tipping in restaurants has to do with the lack of staff and now lack of service.
In-person dining, people who work in restaurants, servers, hostesses, hosts, the frontline workers in a restaurant have had to enforce masking requirements, have had to enforce vaccine mandates, have had to incur the wrath of customers during the period when we were coming out of the worst of COVID. And now they're having to take bear the brunt of an inflation-weary public. Is this another case of restaurant workers being made to bear the brunt of problems they didn't create?
Oh, absolutely. And the inflation issue is huge. The price of food is going up. And what we're seeing at a lot of restaurants is where people would come in before and each have a meal and maybe share an appetizer. Now it's they're sharing an appetizer, they're sharing an entree, they're sharing a dessert. So the waiters are working just as hard as they did with the check average going down all at the same time.
People feel very passionately about the percentage they leave as a gratuity, especially at a restaurant. And normally, you know, 15 to 20% or 20% and beyond. What is the average range of tipping these days?
Well, that's a great question. I was just in New Jersey yesterday at a client's, and I was assessing how that restaurant is doing. And I assessed it by what is their tip average. And a good tip average in today's world is somewhere between 20 and 22%. But when I went through this restaurant for the last month and a half, they've been averaging about 17%. And that tells you people are tip weary for sure. And they're also becoming more and more critical about the service they're receiving.
Now, in some other states, they're raising the minimum wage for restaurant workers, California in particular. In most other states, the tipped wage is a lot lower than the standard minimum wage. Could this result in some type of cycle in which states start passing higher minimum wages to make up for the fact that the public isn't nearly as generous as it used to be?
Well, absolutely. And I was just talking to my daughter who lives in Canada, saying that maybe it's time for the U.S. to use the European model where it's kind of all included. And if you're doing a tip in Europe, it's 10% would be extremely high because the wages are very high. But you bring up a great point with California. There's no more tip wage. Everybody's at $15. And now the state is pushing to get that to 22. I think when they do that, that's going to be the end of tipping in California.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach based in Chicago. Thanks for joining us today. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.